Welcome back to the Social Media Sucks podcast. I'm your host, Chris Covernus. This is Jason, the Ginger Donnelly. And we're breaking down everything about social media on this podcast, trends, as we're also breaking some hearts. I don't know what the fuck that means. Are we breaking hearts?
That's right.
Okay, we're breaking hearts, apparently. We're breaking down social media and breaking hearts on the Social Media Sucks podcast.
This is the Social Media Sucks podcast.
Oh, look, I got another follower.
Oh, that's wonderful. Good for you.
I can hear you saying that, but you don't seem happy for me.
No, of course I'm excited for you.
Keeping you up to date on what's going on in social media. Brought to you by Cupco.
We're breaking down social media. We're breaking hearts. We're doing it all. As he said, I'm Jason. For this episode, we're going to do something a little outside of the norm. It's not really about like thinking about what scares you or that kind of thing, but we're really focused on social media conspiracy theories. That's not conspiracy theories on social media. It's social media conspiracies about social media. But first, I want to talk about the elephant in the room from the last episode.
Are you talking about how you derailed the conversation?
I am. I didn't derail the conversation. It was all thought out and planned. So for the last episode, if you didn't see it, out of nowhere, apparently, I said, stop what you're doing and start saying burger, cheeseburger, bacon double cheeseburger to your telephone.
I'm glad we're doing this after lunch.
I didn't hear from anybody. So I don't know if you didn't see the episode or maybe you didn't understand the thoughts, but I did get results.
What's the verdict? Did you see cheeseburgers in your feed?
I have to preface this. I love cheeseburgers. I'm a huge fan of cheeseburgers. I'm guessing that I'm guessing that my phone is hearing me say this right now. But on every platform, I got cheeseburgers given to me. I don't know how we're going to do this. Here and here. And it showed me across every platform, there was burgers. But again, prefaced, I love cheeseburgers. I follow a bunch of cheeseburgers.
So it's probably that you just are a big cheeseburger fan.
Possibly.
Okay. But I believe you.
All I'm saying is we're not just podcasters. We're scientists. We're social media scientists.
Yeah. And so you don't think it's just a theory? The apps are listening? Actually, we're going to talk about this because I think that was one of the number one conspiracy theories that we got from you guys, the listeners. And if you don't know, every week we ask people, give us your input into certain topics. So last week we covered conspiracy theories. Next week we'll get into what that is. And you guys can send in your comments, your questions, and become a guest instantly on the Social Media Sucks podcast. But I have one that we talked about yesterday already.
Yep.
And it's actually in relation to this exact sort of campaign that we did, or this exact, you know, Social Media Sucks podcast that we did. And that is that LinkedIn limits your reach on the platform if you also pay for ads. Meaning if you have an account within their LinkedIn ad center and you are paying for ads, whether that's for your own brand or for, you know, you're working for a client. But if you pay for ads, LinkedIn knows this and therefore will start to limit your reach on your account because it knows you're willing to pay for reach. So I've actually seen this firsthand. My reach significantly drops when I start spending more money on the platform. I have proof. I showed Jason yesterday. Yeah. It's very, very clear. So if you want to post on LinkedIn and keep your reach, I really recommend you don't pay for that in Ads Manager or have a separate account that you used to actually run your paid ads.
Do you think it's just LinkedIn, or do you think it's if you're using TikTok Boost, if you're using all those other ones, do you think it's across the board?
I think it's every single platform. Every single platform knows you're a user. It knows that you are paying for reach.
You're a user. You're tapping in.
Absolute user. You're like, give it to me in the veins.
I need more likes.
Yeah. And they know that, okay, you've got some dough, you got cash, you got a credit card, you're willing to pay for this.
Daddy's hungry.
Then you're not going to get the reach that you... So don't, you know, if you want to continue with your organic reach, make sure you have separate accounts for your paid.
I think that's a good idea. All right. Well, that's Chris's. Should we get into the episode?
Let's go.
All right. First one is coming in from Phil Tarling, and it's a video. Thank you so much. If you want to be on the next episode, send us a video. You're the first one that comes out the gate. But this is from Phil. We're watching over here.
My name is Phil Tarling. I do have a social media conspiracy theory, which is I believe that my phone taps in to my conversations in the same way that when I sit down and have a coffee with a friend and I'm listening and engaging and I'm chatting and sharing information, I believe that my phone collects data not just my data, but data of those that I sit down and have coffee with, data with those that I spend time with. It listens in and collects data, which to me is the same thing. It collects data, which means it's listening in. Maybe not in the same way that I use my ears to listen, but definitely it collects information.
Phil, the always stylish Phil, go check him out. We'll put up his social somewhere. So this is actually probably one of the biggest conspiracies that we got. There was others sort of circling around this, but essentially that the apps are listening. Jason brought it up with his cheeseburger discussion. And I believe this is happening. I know that people have tried to debunk this. There's too many coincidences. There's too many people talking about this. It has to be real.
I think it has to be real, but I also think, have you looked into the contracts that you've signed on all these platforms?
No, who does that?
Right? I've never read or read any contracts.
You didn't read your employment contract with Cubco?
Anyway.
I demand a son soon.
Ooh. Well, like, this what? Was a good podcast.
All right, see you later.
I gotta get out of here.
Your firstborn child. Yeah, don't you know?
He's not gonna like that.
He's not gonna. He's not
gonna.
Maybe
like
you
that. Will. I don't know.
Maybe I shouldn't be mentioning your kids' names on the podcast. We can edit that out.
Edit it out. Edit.
Put in a new name.
His new name is Tequila. Anyway,
I love that name. Actually.
No, but my big question is, I've never, even after thinking of this, because I've thought about this before, I've never gone back and looked at any of the contracts. Does it say we are able to do this? Because I wouldn't doubt it. Like, why wouldn't they protect themselves if they are doing it?
Somebody tell us in the comments of this, has anybody read the actual contract? Send us a link to the contract.
Send me an image.
And yeah, send me an image where it says that they are able to use any audio recordings or audio, or maybe they just say any digital input. And that could be anything. But I actually absolutely believe this. I think you're right, Phil. I think they are listening. I've never heard that they're actually, like, if you're sitting down at a cafe or something with a friend, they're also tapping into that. Obviously, like, if they're collecting your own conversations, then it would collect your friend's conversation as well. But I don't know if they could be able to tie that into, you know, when they're out and about and scrolling on social media, if they're able to, like, get to that person as well. But
also, Phil, I like the way that you said data. Like, they're just collecting data. It's not like, it takes all the emotion out of it. It's not like listening to my conversation with my friend. It's collecting data.
Yeah.
It's so much different.
But I would add this to this conversation is, like, do we actually even care at this point? Like,
no one cares.
We actually talked about this in our newsletter a few newsletters ago, where there was a big 12 billion data point 20, leak.
27 million?
27 million or
billion, 20
billion, billion. 27 billion something data like point leak, biggest leak, data leak in the world. And nobody cares. Nobody clicked on that story. Nobody cares. At this point, all the privacy leaks, all the data leaks, everyone's just like, nothing bad's happened to me yet. I haven't lost anything. Nobody's come and arrested me yet.
Yeah. What's that? So. What's the joke? Like, people are getting so mad about the government listening in, and then they have a Amazon Echo or whatever, and they're like, hey, phone tap, can you tell me where this is? It's all recorded. It's all saved. It's all, yeah. Nobody gives a shit.
Apparently.
Over on Facebook, Bonnie Miller said the same kind of thing. It's always passively listening through your devices. So definitely agree with that. And here we have three that are a little deeper than that, which is interesting. JT Curtis says, I believe there was a report that Facebook had launched an AI program that started teaching itself its own language, so they had to unplug. Totally Skynet stuff. But I think Facebook denied it, so the jury's still out on that story.
Was it Facebook? I thought it was Google.
Yeah, but it still doesn't, this isn't really a social media conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's in the zone. Why not?
Yeah.
So Facebook, the conspiracy is that there was a report that Facebook, actually, this is not even conspiracy. This is fact.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the AI episode. There was two AIs that they had talking to each other, and then they invented their own language, and the researchers couldn't understand what the hell they were saying. So they unplugged it because they're like, this is not good. We need to know what the hell's going on here. Yeah. So yeah, that's scary stuff.
Imagine seeing a robot talking to another robot in a language that they made up.
Don't think it's not going to happen.
Like, it is happening.
Yeah.
All right. This one's gone deep down the rabbit hole. We're gonna get on some lists for this one.
Please don't put us on a list.
It doesn't matter.
FBI, CIA, if you guys are listening, please, I don't want to be on a list. I'm good.
I don't care. Emily Sue Smith. myth. All of it is funded by the CIA to get data on US citizens, but then it spiraled out of control and they got pissed when China got the same data. Oh, is this about like TikTok?
This is interesting. I like this. So Emily Sue Smith, you're going deep on this one. I love it. So it's all been funded by the CIA to get data on US citizens, then it got out of control. But I guess it's also European citizens, so it's all in the mix there. But then why would the EU, why would the US government then sue those platforms? Because we're seeing that now also.
Yeah.
So maybe their relationship isn't as good as it used to be. Maybe Facebook started saying, no, CIA, you can't have the data.
Who's in control? That's all I want to know.
Nobody's in control, Jason.
AI.
Nobody's AI in control. Yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
All right, this is another one. I feel like most of these are going to be in the same vein. From Allison Wu, these are all New York friends. Facebook and Gmail read your emails, texts, direct messages in order to choose ads that are exposed to you on Facebook, other Facebook companies like Instagram, Google, and YouTube. I mean, I think that's just fact. Right.
But I don't know if Facebook can read your emails. I mean, that's a text. Yeah. Direct messages. Okay. I get that. That makes sense. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's also, we've seen that Facebook, Instagram, if you DM with somebody more, their content will show up more in your feed. Their content will show up more in your stories, or like you'll be exposed to their content more because Instagram, Facebook, they're basically saying, okay, you've got a, you know, a relationship with this person, or you've got like a, yeah, you're connected with this person in some way. Therefore, we're going to show their content to you more. So it's not so much a conspiracy that's happening, but whether or not it's related to like pushing ads to you, pushing content to you, that is more of a commercial nature, than I haven't seen anybody talk about this, but I think you're probably right.
But here's the other
question.
Try
it. DM somebody about some Nike shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's see if you get
something that you've never thought of, never talked about, and then go from there instead of cheeseburgers.
Like our sponsor today, Orangina. No, they're not so our sponsors today, but Orangina, if you want to sponsor us, I mean, it's good stuff.
The other thing that I was going to say is, Allison, my question is it about the platform you're on? If you're on an app on your phone, you're just on YouTube, or you're just on YouTube, you're just on Facebook or whatever the platform is. So you're in the platform. But if you're looking at the platform like Facebook from a web browser, then does it have access to all the web pages that are open? Because like I get fed stuff directly from browser. So but I don't know if it's connected, if that makes any sense. If you're using Facebook on a browser versus an app.
Well, that was the whole open graph thing. I mean, like Facebook had got its claws in almost every website as well because of tracking pixels and stuff like that, right? So Facebook was so smart at sort of creating this incredible graph of connections across the web so that it could actually read what have you visited. And that's the, I guess, the genius behind why Facebook also made so much money on the advertising side. It still does make so much money on the advertising side because it knows everything that you're sort of up to and can present the content better.
Read this next one from LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, you guys had some things to say. I love that.
Got a bunch.
Soren Jensen said, I believe LinkedIn wants people to dwell on a post for as long as possible, as the platform makes more money the longer people are staying here. Yeah, I agree. If you create posts that give value to the people reading it, it's kind of a win-win for all parties. You get engagement and build your personal brand. People take away from what you're sharing, and LinkedIn benefits from people being on the platform. Yes and no. I mean, I think that's a pretty, I don't know if that's a conspiracy theory. I think that's quite true, that every platform wants you to spend more time on their platform because then they can serve you more advertising. I don't know if creating posts that give value to the people reading it, it's kind of a win-win for all parties. You have to determine what is value. And I would say, like, I would add, which I don't think anybody else has added here, is like there is definitely a content censoring going on the platforms. They are determining who to pump up, who to suppress. They are definitely choosing that based on politics, gender, ideologies, your previous posting history. They are definitely heeding, as it's sort of called, heeding stuff that they want to push forward, and definitely suppressing some stuff. So I wouldn't say it's like all about the value. If you bring value, you're going to succeed on the platform. I think there are a number of check marks that are not even related to the value of the post. And I know that might sound conspiratorial, but I mean, I've seen it firsthand. There's a lot of factors that go into play of whether or not you're going to reach the audience that you're hoping to reach or not.
Yeah, I don't think it's a conspiracy anymore, especially on LinkedIn. I think this is a great thought just as a content creator, But as a conspiracy, LinkedIn, you can put anything. And they just, if it has a link, nope, we're not showing that to anybody. If you tell people to go offsite, no, we're not going to show that to anybody. Does this have an emoji at the beginning? Probably not going to show that to anybody. That doesn't seem very professional. Like it feels, that's what the platform feels like these days.
There's definitely some things in there. And I think that it's become a game almost to like gamify the posting on LinkedIn or any other platform for that matter. Like you're basically trying to avoid tripwires when you're posting. And that has nothing to do with value. That has nothing to do with the story that you're bringing. It only has to do with how many hoops can you jump through. And I don't know if that's the right way to approach things. But
yeah, I mean, this week I started putting dad jokes in my how to pronounce my name in LinkedIn, because why not?
Yeah.
Johan
Christofferson says, have you ever heard of conspiracies regarding the Musk takeover of Twitter? I almost believe some of them. I haven't heard any conspiracies.
Oh, yeah.
What have you heard?
It feels very much like he did it to hide a lot of money.
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
I think that's what they're talking about.
So the conspiracy is that, how would you hide money through an acquisition like that?
Through Twitter.
Yeah. Tell us, how would you hide money? What are you finding?
I'm finding a lot of stuff, but it's not the specifics of before.
Can't find it. It doesn't exist. He's wiped it from the face.
It definitely exists.
Nope.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, so we couldn't find it, but people are suggesting that there's some insidious hiding of money laundering, essentially, on Twitter. Yeah, I think that from a commercial standpoint, I don't think it's been a very good success for Mr. Musk. I think he's probably looking at it like, man, wow, I'm really losing my shirt here. But none of his investments or none of his forays have necessarily been about that. I think he seems to lead his ideology by like what he thinks is going to be best for the planet.
Yeah.
That's why he bought Twitter. He felt like there was no great platforms anymore for freedom of speech. So he essentially bought Twitter because he thought, okay, I'll, you know, try to spearhead this beacon of freedom of speech. That's what he believes. Whether or not you believe that or whether or not, you know, it's not for me to say, but that's essentially, I wouldn't say the conspiracy. I think that's what he said he's done. Whether or not that's about hiding money or not, or laundering money, we'll see.
I don't know.
Do you think, no idea.
Is it a conspiracy if we think that he bought it to create a massive platform for everything, from buying things to spending money, to giving money to friends, to banking, to entertainment, to...
I think he bought the user base and thought, okay, this is a good purchase, but I think he's very far away from actually doing this all in one app. I think Facebook's much, much closer.
Yeah.
To having a everything to everyone app. I don't know why he'd want to go up against Facebook. Like Facebook's revenue was what?
It's going up.
Didn't they say their profit was $13 billion last year or something crazy like that? So I mean like, and Twitter's basically at zero. So I don't think he's going to get anywhere close to what Facebook could do. Facebook could tomorrow invest $3 billion into becoming an all-in app, or $10 billion, and they'd, you know, it wouldn't even phase them.
Yeah.
So I think Musk is very far away.
Yeah.
Good old Jordan Sheltkin says, Google plus Meta are lobbying to and forging the PR fight to paint TikTok as an evil Chinese app. All the while, they stand to benefit the most if the app is removed, regulated in the U.S. I think you're right. I think they've definitely launched their own smear campaigns. I think that lots of businesses in the arena of competition do these smear campaigns, do these things to try to trip up their competitors. We've seen this many times. It doesn't matter what business it is. If it's Google, if it's Meta, if it's in tech, if it's in oil and gas, if it's in whatever like industries, food industries. So you see this happen quite a bit, and I do think they stand to benefit the most. But I also tell you who else benefits from this is Congress people, politicians. I believe that when Congress is hauling these CEOs of these app companies up to talk about privacy or mental health issues, it's a dog and pony show. It's not about the people. It's actually about lobbying money. It's about like, hey, we're going to drag you up here and make it uncomfortable for you, because actually we want you to spend more money in lobbying, mm-hmm. and we want you to spend more money and maybe build something in our state or in our city, because nothing's ever happened from these Congress hearings. Nothing as bad has happened to these companies. They drag the CEOs up there. Mark Zuckerberg sweats for a couple of hours trying to answer as most humanly possible.
It usually makes them look worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that what ends up happening is it's just a shakedown. We're going to shake you down for some more money. And that's what happens. So that's what I believe.
Yeah. We heard more. Nicholas Wietas?
Wietas.
Wietas?
Yeah.
Apps are listening to us. Yep. You got an agreement with Anas Sorensen. Plus one. We've all had that one experience where we're like, and then one more try. Sadia, you think?
Yes.
Sadia Whitehead. Instagram secretly suppresses or limits the visibility of certain users' content without their knowledge, effectively shadow banning to reduce their influence. I know Adam Mosseri has contradicted it, but shadow banning seems like a tool used one way or another.
I would love to know everyone else's opinion on this. In the comments, do you feel like you've ever been shadow banned? Do you feel like your content isn't reaching people? I think what's happening is this. I think the apps, there's two sides of it, right? There's content creation, like you are basically producing the content that keeps the app flowing. And then there's users who are also consuming content. And sometimes you're probably both. You're a content consumer and a content producer. Knowing this, then you have to understand that the app wants you to spend more time consuming, spend more time creating. So the app companies are like, let's give them a big dopamine hit in the form of likes and engagement and reach. So you'll post on the platform and you'll get, you know, great reach and like, oh man, I love this. You'll get that dopamine hit that feels so good, man. I'm gonna keep posting. And people are gonna consume it and they're gonna like it. And then they very smartly know, oh, we have to reduce this dopamine because they're getting too much of it. And we want to limit that because we want them to keep crawling back to us for this hit. And so they do that. They suppress your reach. They're controlling your emotions and controlling your dopamine and your hormones by basically limiting your reach so that you feel like you have to try harder. And people will say, you'll even see this, content creators be like, well, you just don't understand the algorithm anymore. Your content isn't good enough anymore. Everyone came on and now it's very hard to reach these. But the reality is that the app is actually suppressing your content in order for you to try harder, in order for you to go out there and create more content and get out there, and they're playing with your emotions. And I would say that if you recognize this, then you can stop yourself and go, do I want to play this game? Do I want to put all of my faith or all of my self-worth and all of my dopamine supply from this app? And I would suggest you don't. I would suggest you go find your dopamine elsewhere.
Go play sports.
Go dip some cold water.
Get cold water.
Get in cold water. Another sponsor from today, Cold Feet.
Cold Feet is a sponsor of this episode. I have this issue. So on one side, I think the conspiracy side of things, like it's all the apps and they're shadow banning people over here and they're limiting people's freedom of speech over here. And they're blocking that one guy because he said that one thing that one time over here. And then on the other, on the pure creator side of things, I see these people bitching about, like, I've been shadow banned. And when you look at their content, I look at it and I go, your content's shitty. The app can't make money unless people are stuck into it, watching and watching and watching and watching. So if they see your shitty content, the app's not going to make money and they're going to suppress it. Not necessarily shadow banning. It's the app making sense of, people don't want to see this. We're not going to show it to them.
But have you ever seen a piece of shitty content that's done extremely well?
Yes. And it pisses me off.
But okay, so if we continue with that logic, if we can suggest that, oh, there's shitty content that does actually quite well. So for example, we can all sort of think in our mind of that one creator, or that one influencer, or the many influencers that we've seen that basically just dances on their TikTok or makes a funny face or pretends to be an NPC. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, why does this have millions of views? And why do they continue to get millions of views? It seems suspect to me. So if we live in a world, if we can accept that, okay, shitty content can reach a lot of people, and then, but non-shitty content doesn't reach anybody. Oh, but good content also reaches people. Then I don't think it's unfair for people to go like, but why can't I reach people anymore? Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
So like, you can sit there and we can say, like, we can point and be like, oh, your content's not any good. But the reality is there's tons of crappy content that does extremely well. So is it a crapshoot then? Is it all just luck? It might be. And then it doesn't matter what you put into the content. It doesn't matter if you make it good. See, you want to believe that. I get it. I do also. Like, I'm a social media. I own a social media agency. I can tell you, we can look at content in a way that goes, okay, that's not going to perform well. That's going to perform well. We have a good sense of that because we understand human psychology and we can understand, okay, you know, we have to tap into these things. But I've also built content for clients that I was like, this is not going to go well. It gets a million views. And you're just like, I can't explain that.
Yeah.
It's whack-a-mole.
For this
one? Sadia, I believe you.
Shadow ban.
Shadow banning.
It's happening.
Let us know in the comments. Have you been shadow banned, and what are you doing about it?
We went to Slack to ask some of the internal Cubcos what they thought. So first one's from Julian. They are all listening to all of your conversations, especially Instagram.
Calling out Instagram.
And serving you ads of what you talked about within 5 minutes of talking about it. And then he said that the platform itself says, no, we understand that sometimes ads can be so specific, it seems like we must be listening to your conversations through your microphone, but we're not.
Trust us, we're not listening. I don't know.
No, they are.
No, they are.
Next, Roland said, the algorithm knows you better than you know yourself. We are already living in the metaverse. Bonus, this is a bonus. Censorship and control of narratives to manipulate public opinions.
That's what I was talking about before.
All the stuff about the voting and everything in the elections.
That also might be bad actors on the platforms that are like messing around with you. So it might not necessarily be the platform, but I definitely think, you know, we've seen the bot armies and these sort of groups that have been able to really, you know, get a lot of content out there that's maybe false information. So we've definitely seen people utilize the platform. I don't know. I agree with you, Early. I think there is also some suppressing and some censorship going on.
So. Fake news.
Fake news, as Trump would say.
This is by far the biggest conspiracy theory that we got this time. From our new employee.
New old employee.
Yeah, Mass. Mark Zuckerberger is an AI robot controlled by Illuminati to cast people to secret bunkers.
I totally believe this one.
100%. This is not a conspiracy theory, but did you see Zuckerberger tested the Apple Vision Pro?
No.
He tried it, the new Apple, and he's like, I don't think that the Apple Vision Pro is a better product or a better product than the Meta Quest 3.
Yeah.
The Meta Quest 3 is a better product overall, across the board.
Yeah. Is it?
No.
You don't think so?
No. It's much cheaper, but like when you can see pixels, and in the VR or in the Apple Vision Pro, you can't see any pixels.
I haven't tried it.
Neither have I, but it's
in my
feed.
But is that the thing that you judge a good product on, if you can see the pixels?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like
for virtual reality?
Yeah, maybe. Let us know if you've tried the Apple Vision Pro and you've also tried the Quest 3. How does it stack up? I'm sure there's about 1,000 videos now on YouTube asking this or answering this very same question. But if you have firsthand knowledge, we'd love to know.
And I don't know if Chris will like this, but send us an Apple Vision Pro.
Why wouldn't I like
that? We'll put it on the next episode.
Send us one. I'm surprised actually that when Apple Vision Pro came out, now that it's available, that I didn't have like 10, 15 employees ask me that day, when are we getting an Apple Vision Pro?
When are we getting an Apple Vision Pro?
Never.
That's a smart question to ask.
Never.
Send us an Apple Vision Pro.
We can't hear you.
Please.
No, we'll get one. We have to try one. I mean, we buy everything else around here. Like, we bought the Ray-Bans when they first came out.
You met
the Ray-Bans. We bought the second versions. We bought the new DJ. We buy everything, you guys. We like to try out technology. We had the first Quests. We had the second Quest. We're going to get probably the third Quest. And we'll probably get a Vision Pro.
If you say we're going to get it, then they won't send it to us.
They're not going to send it to us.
Send us an Apple Vision Pro.
Who the fuck is out there sending Vision Pros?
Send us an Apple Vision.
No.
Conspiracy theory. Someone's going to send us an Apple Vision Pro.
That's a big conspiracy.
All right.
Biggest one yet.
From Instagram, hashtag Marissa says, my favorite conspiracy is that all our DMs are monitored by the government.
Whoa.
I truly hope not.
Whoa. We're going deep state here. I think that, I think you're right. Hashtag Marissa. They're listening. So, pay your taxes.
What is it, Homeland Security? Are they the ones that, like, listen to everything?
NSA, I think.
If you just have any word that matches, like, the list, then you're on the list.
I have some DMs to delete.
No, it's too late.
It's too late.
At this point, if you just think them. I keep hearing that. That's the conspiracy theory that I was blown away that didn't pop up. The one that some people believe that the different, especially TikTok, it has mind reading capabilities at this point. People are saying that.
I wouldn't be surprised, but...
Because people are just thinking things, and all of a sudden, it's in their feed.
It's a little like going back to, like, if you ever thought about a song, and then it comes on the radio. Did that ever happen to you as
a kid?
All
the time, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's in that zone. It's coincidental, but it's sort of spooky.
Yeah, it's also like what Roll said. Your feed or the platforms know you better than yourself.
The radio knows you better than yourself. It used to when I was a kid.
Especially when it's eye tracking. The eye tracking. Nobody talked about that either.
I don't know if the eye tracking is actually happening.
I think it's happening.
You think it's happening? 100%. You think that when you open an app, you go in and it reads what you're looking at?
If you look at your phone through one of those VR, or what's the cameras with the infrared camera, your phone is constantly taking pictures of you. What does that mean?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to investigate this.
Infrared camera. Go look at it. Look at all the YouTube videos on it or TikTok videos,
don't you think
whatever.
They're just fucking with us? Like, don't you think they are faking those videos?
No.
No, okay.
100%.
He's all in.
100%. This is much like AI. 100%. Next, Stoneham Press or Stoneham Press?
Stoneham Press.
Could be either. That Instagram's algorithm is controlled by a magic 8-ball. And Chris replied to this comment, seems legit, ask again later.
Thanks, thanks a lot for that one. I mean, who doesn't love a magic 8-ball? I mean, if that controlled our lives, I think we'd probably all be better off, to be honest.
I make bad decisions.
Just consult the magic 8-ball. We'll be fine. We're moving on to email.
Oh, boy.
I got a good one here from Alex. With all the news this week about social media, smartphones being harmful for kids, how about the rumor that people who work for Meta, Google, etc., don't allow their own kids to have smartphones?
I've heard that repeatedly this week.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, it was also like Steve Jobs, before he died, also famously said that he also doesn't allow his kids to spend too much time on their iPads, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, they're addictive. I think that even me, I mean, I own a social media agency. I, you know, love social media. I love content. I limit my kids' exposure to their screens. I think you have to these days. I think it would be, I don't want to say neglectful. I don't want to judge anybody for what they want to do. But I think that we have to recognize that the harm in a developing mind in being able to access everything at all times, being fed a diet of whatever the internet throws at it. I mean, it needs some governing. It needs somebody saying, we shouldn't watch that. We shouldn't watch that for that long, because it's a diet. It's a mind diet. And I'm not going to let my kids just eat ice cream all day. And I'm not going to let them consume the junk food that is on social media all day, because there is a lot of junk food. I would say 99% of it is junk food, but there's that 1% that's good. And you try to lead them that way, and you try to limit that junk food and get to the vegetables of the brain.
Yeah, the vegetables of the brain.
The vegetables, like the vitamin-filled content. I also would, I don't know if it's conspiracy, but I wouldn't be surprised if these people are limiting their kids' access.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get my cane out and I'll say, when I was a kid, we just played. Go play outside. That's it. We didn't have social media. And I think we all know that it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, we talked about this on the podcast a few episodes ago about it being considered the cigarettes of our generation. And I think we'll probably look back 20 years from now and they will consider it as bad as cigarettes. Addictive, health reasons, bad for you, all that jazz. Mm. So,
next up, this email from Flo. These are some rumors she heard, too. You should never edit a caption after posting it to Instagram. This makes the algorithm de-rank you, and you'll see a huge drop in organic engagement. And if you leave comments that are only emojis, Instagram thinks you're a bot, and you'll get shadow banned.
I believe both of these, just wholeheartedly.
just across the board. This
these are true.
Fact.
Yeah. Don't ever edit stuff. Don't leave emojis. And I'm bad at both of those things, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the best part about misspellings and that kind of thing in your social media content is people will see it, comment on it, and your reach will grow.
Yeah.
I think.
So just leave those misspellings. Leave those mistakes.
I'll give you a preview. Oh, I don't think you'll see it, but on our newsletter, I'm doing this test to see if it works. So sign up for the newsletter. Allie.
Cubco.com/newsletter. All right, from Allie. How can I escape the echo chamber of algorithms I'm in and serve some new and exciting or new unexpected content? And how politically affiliated are various social media platforms? Ooh, okay.
I think these are just questions.
I'm in. Let's answer some questions. How can I escape the echo chamber of algorithms I'm in and get served some new and unexpected content? Delete your accounts. just delete everything and start fresh.
Throw away your computer.
Just start searching. Search is the best option. Search for unexpected stuff and consume that content and dislike, like you can say not interested on the regular content that you normally consume, and you'll change, as we've seen in our own business. Whenever we're going deep into an industry or like trying to learn about a client or learn about their users or their potential customers, you know, my social media gets screwed up completely. For example, makeup clients or vegetarian food clients, you know, and so I'm doing deep dives into these topics, and then my social media is all over the place, right? Because it'll just serve me that kind of stuff. So I would say, like, you have the power to just go find new content.
This reminds me of the comment you said last week, or the last episode, from Dan, when he said about his relationship with social media, and it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
So it's what you look at, what you like.
Yeah.
If you keep liking the same shit, it's gonna be the same shit. So
yeah, it's up to you, kid.
Change it. Oh, this is a long one. We got an anonymous message this week, and it's a beast.
Oh, I'm gonna let you read that.
Here we go. Social media conspiracies. Oh, I'm guessing there's a bunch here. There are a lot of talks about moderation of social media and the back end of it. Theory: many profiles and creators claim to be shadow banned for holding views that don't conform with either governmental interests or societal norms. The anecdotal evidence is based on analyzing reach and engagements across all posts and looking at patterns of significant drop in reach for specific posts where controversial viewpoints are presented. Question for reflection. While there are some clear cases where moderation is needed, content inciting violence, terror, and genuine hate speech, where should that line be? Are we limiting free speech if we cancel, silence viewpoints that don't align with the norm? And is it up to social media platforms to guide public discourse? Current outcome: the acquisition of X by Elon Musk, Twitter, is presented as a resistance towards cancel culture, allowing multiple canceled profiles back, also resulting in advertisers leaving the platform. Furthermore, platforms like Rumble are on the rise as massive influencers who got canceled are looking for new platforms to post from. Among others, we also see big influencers like Aiden Ross being banned on Twitch, moving to platforms like Kick. I haven't even heard of Kick. Rumble's the video platform.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if I could take a little bit of this, you're right, this is happening. We've seen it. There's no surprise here. The issue that we have is we view social media as a media and as a place for public discourse. We don't necessarily see it business that sells advertising. And that's a problem for social media because we see it as something that we own, that we control, that we can post on and stuff. And the reality is that the only reason why these platforms exist is because they can sell advertising space. You know, if advertisers don't want to have their ads next to controversial content, then they control what some platforms like X have said, no, do you know what? Screw advertisers. But then they don't have a business model. So there's a real issue here. You know, we've also sacrificed traditional print media, which I also would also say has been the same issue. It's like, it's a bought media. Somebody's paying for the advertising. So the only way forward is like a national media, a national social media that is not run, that is only subsidized by tax dollars, that is freedom of speech, that doesn't, you know, suppress thoughts. But then, like,
nightmare.
And yeah, like, where do we go from there? So it's like, this is a big, I think this will continue to be an issue as we have this real disconnect between, this is a business, they can decide how they want to operate. And the only way that this business operates is by selling advertising space. And the advertisers only want to be on something that's safe because they don't want their stuff. Or we get to a place where regulation will come in and just say, okay, apps, you cannot limit speech. And advertisers, you cannot limit your dollars based on that.
Ugh,
where's that going to go? That feels
icky.
Also bad too. Yeah. Like, they'll have to say, okay, well, advertisers, you have to pay for this freedom of speech platform. What? How are we going to do this? So a good example of a media that's also subsidized by the government would be like the French cinema industry, where they have grants for, like, it's not completely capitalist. It's not like Hollywood where you've got these studios that are producing stuff and you've got a system there where tax dollars go in and then you can get a grant and then you actually have to pay that money back into the system that funds extra productions. It's a whole ecosystem of helping voices come come to the top. And maybe that's also something that'll happen in the future, where tax dollars will go into subsidizing some of these platforms so that they remain free speech, because I don't know. There's no other place right now where that exists. Or we just go back to
blogs.
Or we just go back to understanding that this is not free speech, and the only free speech that you have is when you go stand on the street corner and yell stuff.
I don't think about that enough. I think there is no free speech.
There is. There is. What do you mean?
Twitter's the free speech one?
As far as you can go.
Unless you talk about Elon, unless you talk about Twitter, unless you talk about X, Y, Z.
But you can still post about it. Like, if you were to post
and get blocked.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Try it.
All right.
Put some stuff out there.
Anti.
This is the test. We're gonna. All right. Jason's gonna be our guinea pig.
I'll post some stuff.
He's gonna post some anti Elon Musk stuff this week.
Follow me, Jason W. Donnelly on Twitter.
He's just gonna roast
Twitter
Elon all week, and we're gonna see if he gets shadow banned or banned.
Banned or completely.
Okay. Let's do it.
Mm. All right.
Does that feel good?
I don't know. Speaking of Twitter, though, this week we had a bunch of comments from Twitter about conspiracy theories. I'm just kidding. We didn't. It's because it's a garbage platform. I'm never going to change that thought.
See, it's already starting. You're already starting to dip in there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, that's the thing about all these, the apps that they're saying, Rumble, Kick, all these platforms are going to come up. Donald Trump's Freedom platform or whatever that.
Truth.
All these other platforms are going to give you whatever you want. So there's a place for whatever horrible things you want to say. I guess that's the freedom, that you don't have to do it on the platform that shuts you up.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, like, people are going to find their places where they want to be, where they feel like they're most free.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Like, I think what we're finding, the pushback on social media right now is largely about freedom. Freedom to decide, what content do I want? What content do I not want? Freedom to say what you want, not say what you want. I think that's what the pushback right now is. People don't feel like they have that freedom anymore. And I think that's also that we've seen politically and culturally, people don't feel like they are able to express themselves in the ways that they used to. So that's also what we're seeing, like, with cancel culture and the sort of cultural wars we're in right now. So there's some pushback. And I think that the way it's going to suss out is, hopefully we're going to go back to a more freedom-based discussion, or freedom, like a more freedom-based democracy, where we talk about, okay, you of course can say what you want to say. Like, Jason's tummy is also joining the podcast today. I don't know if anybody can hear that.
It was a good lunch.
He needs more.
Yeah.
More lunch.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. We're done.
Yeah. So this was a fun show. In our next episode, we're going to be talking about the future of social media. So where is it headed? Is it going to be all AI? Is it going to be all video? Is it going to be all text? Is it going to be headsets? It's going to be a fun one, I think.
It's going to be a fun one. So thank you so much for joining us. I've been Chris Cabernas, one of your co-hosts. This has been
Jason Donnelly.
The Ginger Donnelly. We got to give you a nickname.
Jason the Ginger.
The Ginger.
Call me the Ginge.
The Ginge. Jason the Gins. I have one more question for you before we go. Wouldn't this podcast sound even better if we had some social media socks?
Yes.
Socks? Yeah. Suck socks on? Yeah. Social media sucks socks? Is that
the social media socks podcast.
We need that.
I don't like saying that.
Horrible.
Send us a video of you saying the social media sucks socks.
No, don't say that. It doesn't work. So send us your questions and your ideas on where is social media headed in the next 5 years. We would love to hear from you. Or go to cubco.com/podcast, where you can submit anonymously. So if you're afraid of putting in your voice out there or sending us a video, you want to just remain anonymous, you can do it there. Or tag us in a comment or tag us in a video, and we will feature you on the podcast. Don't forget, next week is all about where is social media headed. We want to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a swell time. Can we say swell?
It's been a swell time.
It's been swell. Yay. All right. See you guys on the next one.
Goodbye.